Earth and Sky.
The lines in the NIH repository that were so-called presidential lines that were approved by Bush have been around a long time, and they haven't all been very well looked after, so they've started to drift and degenerate. They're not as good as they used to be, and they're not as good as the new ones.
You're listening to MIT biologist Richard Hines, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Beginning in 2001, President Bush limited federal funding for human embryonic stem cell research to 21 pre-existing and approved cell lines. In March 2009, President Barack Obama issued an executive order lifting these limits. Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson spoke with Dr. Hines about what this means for scientists.
Can you explain what the order did in terms of stem cell research, and how are things different now than they were just a couple of days ago?
Well, this makes available NIH funding for the wide spectrum of people who would like to work on embryonic stem cells but have been unable to do so except with a very limited set of lines that the Bush administration approved. Those lines, there were about 20 of them, were not very good. They were among the early lines that were made. They weren't made as well as they could have been. They weren't as ethically well documented as they should have been. And basically, the people had to work with those because they were the only ones that Bush would allow funding for. And anybody who wanted to work on anything better had to have private funding and keep it separate from the federal funding. So now, there are several hundred, I think the number's about 700, new lines that have been made since 2001. Which are now available for, well, many of them will be available for people to work on with NIH funding.
And so, just to clarify things, what do you mean when you say lines, and what were they when they were working on them before President Bush put on that order?
So a cell line is an established culture of cells, in the case of embryonic stem cells, made from an embryo. And maintained in culture, they're essentially immortal, and you can grow many of them, and you can give samples of them to other people. So they're called a line so that other people can work on the same line and know they're working on the same materials. That's very important for comparing results. So the new lines that will now be available have been made since 2001 using steadily improving techniques, and that's been done with private funding.
When scientists duplicate lines, or several people are working on the same line, how are they being duplicated? And I've heard that also scientists have been complaining about those lines because they're getting old. What's the process?
That's right. So you grow cells in culture, and they multiply. And then you divide them and split them up into several dishes. So now you've got 10 dishes where previously you had one, and then they'll carry on growing if you feed them. And until you now have 10 full dishes, and you can split them to make 100 dishes. That's how you can propagate the line and make many more copies of the sample. You do have to be careful that during that culture procedure, drift doesn't happen. So what's usually done is to grow up a reasonable number of cells and freeze them down. So then you can go back to the freezer anytime you want fresh cells, and you know they haven't drifted during culture.
And where have the new ones come from? We're talking about human embryos, right?
We're talking about human embryonic stem cells, yes. They have mostly come from frozen embryos from in vitro fertilization clinics that are stored after the couples who've made those embryos available have used as many as they need to for their own reproductive purposes. That's the majority source. One thing which this executive order did not do is make it possible with federal funding to make new cell lines from embryos. That's still not possible. Congress would have to act to make that possible.
So what are the most promising forms of research that now that we have more open guidelines on stem cell research, what can we look forward to?
Well, how long have you got? Let me make a short list. One can use these cell lines to study the way in which cells differentiate, change, and turn into different sorts of cells. So, for example, from embryonic stem cells, you can make essentially any cell type that's in the body. So one thing that everybody wants to be able to do is to channel them into particular directions so that, let's say, you could make heart muscle cells, or you could make neurons, or you could make cartilage cells or bone cells to repair injuries, or you could make insulin-producing cells to cure diabetes. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to find out how to change these cells reliably into the derivative cells that one wants for doing therapy. There have been rather few groups that have had available funding to do stem cell research up until now. The cell lines that Bush had approved are really not very good. And so the people who have been able to work on them with federal funding, they've been inhibited by the fact that they weren't dealing with the best cells that they should have been. They'll now be able to do that, to work on all these multiple cell lines that are out there and will be approved. Lots of bright people working hard. That's what it takes.
So just to clarify, when before you said that there would be several hundred new stem cell lines, where are those coming from?
They have been made in the past 5-6 years by investigators using independent sources of funding, not federal funding. It's never been illegal to make stem cell lines. It was just not fundable by the federal government.
And so how do you feel about these ethical issues that are involved with stem cells?
How do I feel about them personally?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that there are concerns that many people feel about doing this, and I think one has to take those concerns seriously. On the other hand, if I had some, I don't, but if I had some embryos sitting in a freezer that I and my wife had generated and we didn't need them for making children, I would much rather that they were used to make stem cell lines and do good for mankind than that they be thrown away. So it seems to me that morally there's an argument for doing this and doing good, and that shouldn't be blocked by people who feel that they don't want to do it. So I think that there should be the flexibility for people to be respecting of their own ethical concerns, and the oversight and regulations of stem cell research should be such to make sure that those aspects of respect are in play and that people aren't being exploited in ways they would rather not be.
You've been listening to Richard Hines of MIT and the Howard Hughes Medical Institute speaking with Lindsay Patterson. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird, and you're listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.